Fine. So at your guys' request, we're going to deal with the question of repeating the Amidah. If you forget, HaMelech HaMishpat. Along the way, we'll talk a little bit of Melech HaKadosh. We'll talk a little bit about the other additions in the Amidah throughout the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. But fundamentally, I want to focus on HaMelech HaMishpat, which is the one which, as we said, people have a preconceived notion of what is obviously true and is not at all obviously true. In fact, it's more likely obviously not true, despite the fact that the Ramah Pat seems like it. Everyone else, you know, all the other Rishonim, besides the Rabbeinu Yonah that he's relying on, take it as obviously not correct. Not all of them, almost all of them. So it's actually quite a novel position. I want to try to understand it, okay? So let's get basic facts on the table. So, before we read the first Gemara, let someone summarize for me the first Gemara. Tell me what the halacha that we're dealing with, and then we'll do it. Yeah, Zach. Right, okay. So the topic under discussion is, right, the potential changes in the Amidah during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, the third bracha. Good. Right, so the topic under discussion are the potential changes to the Amidah during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva and whether those changes are okay. Whether if you don't do it, it prevents you from fulfilling your obligation, right? Yes, everyone agrees that's a good summary. Okay, fine. So, who wants to actually read the Gemara? Take it away. Okay, so let's start for there. fine. Finish the line, and then we'll summarize what we saw so far. Okay, good. Good. So we have two positions here. We have Rava Barbarachinna Saba Mishmei de Rav. That's a mouthful. Right, but what does he say? He says the halacha as we know it, which is third bracha normally is finished Akel HaKadosh. During Aseret Yemei Teshuva we finish it with Amelech HaKadosh. Right? The bracha of Mishpat normally finishes Melech Ohev Tzaka Mishpat. During Aseret Yemei Teshuva we finish it with Hamelech HaMishpat. Okay, good? Then there's the position of Rabbi Elazar. What does Rabbi Elazar say? Right, he says, even if you say Akel HaKadosh, you fulfill your obligation. What's his proof? Well, okay, well, before we get to his proof, actually, simple understanding, okay, is, according to Rabbi Elazar, if you say Akel HaKadosh, you fulfill your obligation. By implication, what is the simple understanding of Rabba Barchinna Saba Mishmei de Rav? If you forget to say Akel HaKadosh, if you forget to say Akel HaKadosh, do you repeat the Amidah?
Yes.
Right? That is the simplest understanding of the Gemara. Right? Everyone agrees that's the simplest understanding of this Gemara? Right. Okay, good. Why does Rabbi Elazar say that you don't have to? Right? If you don't, you are still Yotzei. Correct, because the pasuk when it's talking about God being vayigvashem tzvakot v'mishpat, God is elevated in judgment, which implies you're talking about the time of year in which judgment is front and center, which are the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Nevertheless, what is the appellation that we ascribe to God? Akel HaKadosh, right? Which means that Akel HaKadosh still has something to do with justice, and therefore still fits in Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Right, that is the position of, that seems to be the position of Rabbi Elazar. Good, so that's what we've got to figure out, right? So what questions do we have? Okay, what questions do we have in this Gemara? So one question is, what does Rabba, we'll just call him Rabba for now. It's not the same Rabba, but fine. Fine, Rabba Bar Chinna, right? What does he do with this proof from the Pasuk that is provided by Rabbi Elazar? Okay, good. What else? What other questions do you have in this Gemara? Moshe, what problems do you have in this Gemara? What issues do you want to explain in this Gemara? What issues? What questions? Right, so you want to figure out necessary, but now what else? That's the facts in the Gemara. What else do we need to figure out? Ellie, what else do we need to figure out? Once we have the facts in the ground, then what do we got to figure out? Right, we have to figure out how, right, what is, right? Right, what's the argument? Meaning, right, they argue, good.
Why?
Right, the why. We got to figure out the why. Right? I mean, this is obvious, right? We got to figure out the why. I mean, they argue, great. Okay, now what? Right, why do they argue? What's the basis of their argument? Right? Okay, right. So one of the things we're going to figure out what they're arguing about is, what do these words mean? Right? Meaning, what does HaMelech HaMishpat mean? What does HaMelech HaKadosh mean? Right, what does HaKel HaKadosh mean? What does HaMelech HaKadosh mean? What do any of those mean such that there should be a machloket? Right? We got to figure out, right, if we want to figure out what they're arguing about, we got to figure out what they're saying, right? Which means you got to figure out what they're talking about. Right? Wow. That is a very big B. Sheesh. I mean, quite a large beat. Wow. Okay. Good. So then the Gemara paskens. Rabbi Yosef says, "What's the halacha? Hakel Hakadosh Hamelach Leif Tzadok Mishpat." And Rabba, not Rabba Bar Chinna this time, says, "No, Hamelach Hakadosh Hamelach Hamishpat VeHilchit Dake Rabba." Right. So the Gemara seems to, in no uncertain terms, say that we pasken. Rabba says we pasken like Rabba Bar Chinna. I know that's confusing, but that's fine. Right, we pasken Hamelach Hakadosh, Hamelach Hamishpat. Okay. Right, and Rabbi Yosef says Hakel Hakadosh and Melech Hamishpat Hamishpat. Meaning, don't. Now, good. What's the problem? So, according to Rabbi Yosef, what does Rabbi Yosef seem to hold? So this is the problem. Is that Rabbi Yosef seems to hold like nobody? Why? Because the simple shot at the earlier part of the Gemara was that what? Everybody agrees, l'chatchila, you should say, HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat. And Rabbi Elazar says, but b'di'eved, it's okay. Rabbi Yosef seems to say, l'chatchila, what? Right, you never change the text of the Amidah. So, now you have options. Either you say that Rabbi Yosef is a third shita in the Gemara, meaning, we have three positions. You must say HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat. You cannot or should not say HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat, and you should, but if you don't, it's okay. Or you have to say that Rabbi Yosef doesn't mean what he says, sounds like he's saying, meaning he doesn't really mean that you don't have to say it at all. What he means is he agrees you should. He just means that if you don't, you get away with it, and therefore he's equivalent to the position of Rabbi Elazar or something like that. Good. Technical problem is that it's not clear that Rabbi Elazar's distinction is also on, or that he's cholik even on Melech, he doesn't actually say that he's cholik on Melech HaMishpat, Melech HaMishpat, HaMishpat either. Correct. Right. Okay. Now, just for a little bit of clarity, right, Rashi says, okay, why are we even talking about this? Why would you say HaMelech HaKadosh? What does Rashi say? Right, so Rashi tries to explain why we would change the gersa. So what does he say? And therefore what? Right? What's the question? The question is, if these are days of judgment, then why does the gersa change to melech, and rather than shofet. He's talking about a melech HaKadosh. What does he say? Exactly, right? Rashi says the reason you say a melech HaKadosh is because a king is involved in justice, right? God in his role as king is also God as judge, right? And those terms are closely related. Someone want to prove to me from Tanakh that even on the human realm, HaMelech and the Shofet, the king and the judge, that those are related phenomenon. Shlomo, not only does he judge, right? Good. Shlomo judges. That's a very good proof. But there's an even better proof also from Shlomo. Good. Shlomo judges. 100%. Mordechai is right. That's a great proof. Good. What else? Let's see how well you know Tanakh. Before that, I have a four-year question. I want you to prove it to me. Let's see how well you know Tanakh. No. And you will only ask that question because you don't know Tanakh well enough, and that's why I'm asking. Right? Oh, you'll say, maybe the whole purpose here is not to prove that a king is involved in Mishpat. Maybe the point is to prove that Shlomo is really smart. Yeah, only someone who never read the parak before would ask that question. Or doesn't remember the parak before. And yes, I say this with a smile, but no, I'm dead serious that I expect you to know Tanakh.
I haven't reviewed it.
This is something you should get during the year, right? Is that saying I don't know it is only going to get you from me, so learn it. It's not going to get me, oh, I'm sorry. No, that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. Okay.
I'm going to get a
knock on that. Oh, that was the best thing you possibly could have said, was instead of waiting me to spoon feed, you've got a tanach. That warms my heart. I might have some mercy. If you do that more often, I might have mercy on you, right? If you do that, then I'm okay, right? It's one thing, you know, you didn't learn Tanakh, but if you show initiative, oh, Baruch Hashem. When I used to give that one chabura a day that the kollel gives in Or Chaim, right, I did this also, and there were a few people who, because I bothered them all year about them not knowing Tanakh, they went, and when they, in Shana Aleph, they finished all Tanakh. I was very, right, when you were in Or Chaim, were any of the wises there? Like the wises down south. That's after your time. Okay. So Uriel was in my first year in Toronto. Uriel was in my 12th grade, whatever they call it. What do they call it? The Chabura thing. He's gone through different names. But that thing. So I bothered them the whole year, and to spite me, he came back and said, see, because you said it, you said I didn't know Tanakh when I learned Tanakh. I'm like, no, you didn't spite me. That was literally my point. My point was to convince you that you should go learn Tanakh. So I win. But it's not I win, you lose. It's I win and you win. I win because I convinced you to learn Tanakh. You win because now you know Tanakh. Win-win. What?
You don't make it very sad.
What?
You don't make it satisfying to beat you, but...
Sorry. We can make other competitions, then it might get satisfying, okay? We can make it a challenge. I bet you can't do something, and I'll pretend that you beat me, fine? Oh, you're looking for what parak it's in? What book are we in? Okay, good.
So the one about the most modern is part A.
Oh, very good. So Shlomo, before, there's a famous scene. The Lord, God Almighty, comes to Shlomo in a dream. And what does he say? What does he say? God says, I am the divine genie. You have a wish. What is your wish? I will, whatever you wish, I shall grant. Yes, this is an actual story in Tanakh.
Yes, I know I've learned it before.
Good, I'm glad you learned it before. I'm glad you're doing Chazara. Wonderful, yes. So, and what does he say? Zach, before you look at the psukim, tell me what he says, and then look at the psukim and see how you got it wrong. No offense, right? Because you clearly misremembered it, right? What does Shlomo say? I want. What does he? What does he pray for? How does everyone remember this? God gives him a one wish, and what does he say? I want.
I think he
has. Ah, so everyone remembers it that he says, "I want wisdom," right? And God says, "Ah, that's a great thing to ask for. I'm so glad you asked for wisdom, in as opposed to wealth, and as opposed to right all the other things you could have asked for. And because you asked for wisdom, not only am I giving you wisdom and making you the smartest person ever, but I'm going to give you everything else also. I'm going to give you wealth and everything you ever wanted. Wealth and victory and everything a king would want, you get it all." That's 90% true, but the 10% is what you're forgetting. Right? He doesn't say that I want wisdom. What does he say? Oh! What does he say? Give me wisdom to do what?
To judge.
Right? He doesn't ask to be the wisest person ever. He never said that. He said, he didn't even say make me wise. He said, wise in the way that is relevant to judge. Because the definition of being a king, part of the definition of being a king is being a judge, is being, right? That's the part that everyone misremembers about the story because they're so used to growing up on the, you know, all the midrashim that build it up. Right, which are great. He's the smartest person ever. He talks to birds. He talks to spiders. He talks to bees. He talks to trees. That's all wonderful. But Shlomo actually asked for wisdom to judge. By the way, that's why the next story makes sense. It's not just proving that he's smart. What is it proving? That he's smart and brilliant in the way that he judges even impossible cases. Right? That's the relevance of this story. Of course, as important as this story is, apparently it's not that important because the author of Divrei Yamim, in his retelling of Sefer Malachim, erases this story in its entirety and just doesn't mention it. It just doesn't happen. The wisdom story does, the dream. But the story of him judging the two women is not there. Why is it other? That's a very good story. That's a very good question. That depends on how important this is in Malachim and what Divrei Yamim is trying to do.
Are we doing this tomorrow?
What?
Are we doing this tomorrow?
No. Challenge. There you go. Go learn all of Divrei Yamim and then tell me when you finish Divrei Yamim, compare it to all the relevant Prakim in Malachim and Shmuel and tell me what the different goal of Divrei Yamim is versus Shmuel Malachim. By tomorrow, even though Divrei Yamim is among the longest books in all of Tanakh. It's fine. It's fine. Chazal say it has 5,880 psukim, or 96 psukim. We have 8 psukim longer or shorter than the Torah, according to Chazal. It's quite long. Divrei Yamim is very, very long. Wonderful book, though. I love the book. Yeah. That's an arbitrary division by the Christians. As is Malachim Aleph and Bet, as is Shmuel. Aleph and Bet. In Chazal, it's just Shmuel, Malachim. As are all the Prakim, yes. I try to explain this to my son as we're going through. He's like, why are these Prakim so long and those Prakim short? I'm like, because it's incoherent. Because it makes no sense. Because the person who made it, hello, because the Christian printers who made up the Prakim did not divide it thematically in any way, shape, or form. It is just like complete arbitrary. It makes it very hard. I was like, it's very simple. I just finished Malachim with my son, right? It's only like 45 prakim, the whole book, right? And Yeshayahu is 66 prakim. But Yeshayahu is like two-thirds the length of Malachim. So obviously in Malachim, the prakim are endless, right? In Yeshayahu, it's like this parak is 7 psukim. Why? I don't know. I have no idea, right? It is beyond me. I don't know what to tell you. If you come to my house, by the way, my son has gotten into this, probably not the greatest of habits, but he quizzes people on all the books of Tanakh that he knows. It's not good. The yeshiva guys almost never get any answers right. Ora and I, maybe, because we get the answers right. Because it's like very nuanced. It's like, who inherited from this part of Eretz Yisrael to that part? I don't know. I don't think spatially like that. But yeah, when we did Yoshua, he like sat down at the atlas.mikra and memorized the atlas. So like, he likes maps. Mm. Okay, fine. What?
Everybody's got a hobby.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure all yeshiva guys. I try to get him not to, because I'm not sure all yeshiva guys like being quizzed by this, you know, an 8-year-old. But whatever. To be fair, when we were living in Toronto and he was 3, he did that in Eitz Chaim also to his teachers. They're like, what are you learning, Daniel? Like, you're not learning Daniel. It's like, no, I'm really learning Daniel. And he really was. Then it was outside. Now it's inside. But then it was outside. fine. So that's Hamelech HaKadosh. What about Hamelech HaMishpat? So this is a bit of a challenge. And I know that Eli and Mordechai came to, I think it was Eli and Mordechai came to this morning, and they said, what in God's name is Rashi saying about Hamelech HaMishpat? He just seems to be throwing a lot of completely unrelated words at us, right? Yeah, that's because he's not giving you a schematic point. He's giving you a grammatical point. So Eli, what was the grammatical point? What is Rashi's point in Hamelech HaMishpat when he says, Kimo, Hamelech HaMishpat, Kimo Nosei Aron HaBrit, Kimo Aron HaBrit, right? When he just throws out random words at you, what is he saying? Good, and what is the grammatical structure? Something like that, right? Meaning, the God of justice. Just like Nosei Aron HaBrit, the people who carry the brit. Now, what is Rashi trying to tell you? Why is it important to tell you the grammatical construct? Very good, right? Because as we're going to see later in the Rishonim, the reason nobody agrees with the position of the Ramah, which he gets from Ben Yonah, is there is a difference between Melech HaMishpat and a Melech Ohev Staka HaMishpat. What is the difference? What is a melech ohev staka mishpat? Correct. It's a king, right? It's the king who likes justice, right? Who likes justice. What is the melech hamishpat? The king of justice. What's the difference? Right? That's the difference between saying, right, that the Queen of England likes visiting Greece, right? As opposed to the Queen of Greece. Those are not the same, right? Right? Those are not the same thing, right? One is the Queen of England, and she likes visiting Greece, because that's where her husband was from, right? I don't know if she actually liked going to Greece. Her husband was from the royal family of Greece, but whether she liked Greece, I don't know, right? That's not the same as the Queen of Greece. I don't know if they have a queen. I don't think they do. Sure. But there's a difference between calling God the Melech Ohev Staka HaMishpat, right? Right? It's like, have you guys gone to the Shuk? Have you ever gone to the Shuk? Right? Machane Yehuda? Okay, well, if you ever get there, right smack in the middle, there is a there will be a bunch of guys yelling at you to eat chalva with a big sign, Melech HaChalva, okay? The king of chalva, right? There's this guy who's going to be yelling there, right? Because he sells chalva, and he calls himself Hamelech HaChalva, okay? Right? If the Queen of England happens to like chalva, right, that doesn't make her the Queen of Chalva, right? Those are not the same thing. She might like chalva. I doubt it. I feel like it's a very not British thing to like, right? It's like, what is chalva? It's crushed up sesame that we mix with sugar and flavoring. It's about 4,000 calories a bite. And it feels sort of like paste. It's delicious. Yeah, I feel like... What? Okay. Now let's bring it... Okay, good. So this is one of the questions we have to ask, which is why is this so important? Yeah. Right? This is the question we've got to ask, right? Why do you think... Okay, good. Now, Your question bothered some of the Rishonim so much, they totally took our Gemara, took the simple pshat, threw it in the garbage, and reread it in a way that is very hard to fit into the words, right? And this appears in many Rishonim, but I gave you just the Rajba who quotes this position. He says, Yesh lefaresh debilichaschila plige. Some read this entire Gemara on the level of a chaschila, ab initio. Right? What does that mean? I mean, what does it mean that they only argue on the level of a chaschila? Correct. We read this Gemara that Rabba Bar Chinna said you must say Amelach HaMishpat, and Rabbi Elazar says you should, but you don't have to. Right? No. Nobody says you have to. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. Yesh lefaresh b'lechatchila plige. Some say that they're only arguing on the level of lechatchila. The Rav Savar, the lechatchila tzarach lomar HaMelach HaKadosh v'HaMelach HaMishpat. Right, the first position, which he has as Rav, fine, as opposed to us, who have his Rav Abrachin and Saba. Well, no, in the name of Rav. He seems to have just cut it out to Rav. I'm not really sure. Or maybe just, you know, summarizing it. But the position attributed to Rav, right, is that it's just better. That's the right thing to do. The Rabbi Eliezer, he has Rabbi Eliezer rather than Rabbi Elazar. Savar de Hamelech HaMishpat Tzarich Lomar L'Chatchila, Aval BeHamelech HaKadosh Palig V'Amar Dafil L'Chatchila Yachal Lomar Kel HaKadosh. Right, he says there's only level of L'Chatchila. Meaning, Rav holds L'Chatchila, you should change both brachot. But the Avad, if you don't, no problem. And what does Rabbi Eliezer say, responding to whoever it was who noticed that he only comments on one of the two? He says, L'Chatchila, what? L'chatchila, you should change HaMelech HaMishpat to HaMelech who gave the government to HaMelech HaMishpat. And even L'chatchila, you should not or don't have to change it to HaMelech HaKadosh.
You don't have to or you shouldn't. Which one is it?
It's not clear what he says you shouldn't, or it's six of one, half dozen of the other, meaning that it's all the same.
But
right, and that's why it sounds like la fila la chasila, you can go either way. Right? Sounds like that. Right? So according to Rajba, what's the machloket? Rav says, lechatchila, change HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat. Two, HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat. Bidiyavad, everyone agrees it's totally fine if you don't. And Rabbi Eliezer has this bizarre position, which is, HaMelech HaKadosh, lechatchila, you can say either one. And HaMelech HaMishpat, lechatchila, you should say HaMelech HaMishpat, but b'di'eved, everyone agrees, you can just say whatever you want. I love the puzzled look on your face, Moshe, yeah? And the answer is, why? Why would anyone say that, right? So why would anyone say that, right? That is like the weirdest read of this Gemara. Why would anybody say that, good? And what's the biggest problem on this whole shot? What one word makes this shot basically impossible? Three-letter word. What in the Gemara makes this entire... What? Thank you! Yatsa normally means you fulfilled your obligation. Yes, exactly. Right? Fulfilled means like, you know, you have an obligation, you fulfilled it, rather than yatsa, which means he says... You did what you wanted to do, and that was fine. The other one says you did what you did, and that was fine. And they're not really arguing. They're only arguing about, like, is it even... Everyone agrees it's fine, but yeah, the only question is, is it only 50-50? Like, you could do either one, or is it, like, slightly better to do one than the other? But everyone agrees that the other is totally fine, right? The word yatsa does not normally mean do whatever you want with slight preferences. Right? So how does the Rajba explain how they defend it? Look, the end of the second line. Wait. So, just one second. What does he say? How does he deal with the word yatsa? Ha dinakad yatsa? Lav davka. His answer is, don't be too worried about it. You're right. It sounds, this isn't what the words say. So the words don't say it. What do you want from my life? I is against the words? Words. What you actually said. Who cares what you actually said? What matters is what you meant. And wow, you didn't say what you meant. Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's absolutely terrible. What do you want from me? Right? Yes. Yes. And then he says, what does Hilchata mean? The Hilchata Kirava Lomar Lechatchila. When you paskin, what does it mean you paskin firmly? It meant we paskin firmly that it's slightly better to do it. Very firmly, we definitively say that it's slightly better if you do it this way, but it's not so bad if you don't. Definitively. Right. This is a very, very hard read of the Gemara. So what does the Rashba then say in two lines in the end? He says, but this shot sounds wrong. Right? He's like, there are people who say this, but it just sounds off. And he's like, by the way, why? If you wanted to say it's better, then you could have said it's better. We have words for that. It's called it's better. Like, say this, and even if you don't, it's okay. We have such words in Hebrew. You could come up with them. Therefore, he says, "Elavadai b'diavad b'li." That's not the argument. The argument is b'diavad, meaning does it work or not? The chayven de imzda helchata kirava tav amar kal kadosh v'kal mitzvah ma'atiru nota v'chein pasuk rabbeinu al fatizal. He says, therefore, the correct shot is
yes.
The correct shot is that Rav holds you must say this, and if you don't, you repeat Shmones, right? And Rabbi Elazar says you should say it, and if you don't, you don't repeat Shmones, right? And we paskin, you have to repeat Shmones, right? Right? And that's the riff, as he notes in 4. The Hilchita, Hamelach Hagadosh, Hamelach Hamishpat, Umidah Tik Nahachi Shmami Nad Lefid L'Rabbi Elazar De Amar Imam Rakel Kadosh Rakel Hamishpat Yatsa Avalo Yatsa Kevin Shol Yatsa Zarech Lachzor. Rabbi Elazar says you don't have to go back, and we don't paskin that way. So halacha, you must go back. So let's analyze these positions. But before we analyze positions, I would like to note something that's very important. What does none of these positions say? Is there not a single one of these positions says that Hamelech Hamishpat is less severe, is less demanding than Hamelech Hagadosh? If anything, they say the opposite. Correct. Right? And if it's not, it's the other way around, right? The Rilazar, right, if anything, the other position, the Rashba quotes, holds that everyone agrees, L'chatzkila, you should say Hamel HaMishpat, maybe not B'dievet. And some people say that Hamel HaKadosh and Hakel HaKadosh are equivalent. But there is literally no position that has been quoted so far who says that Hamel HaMishpat is less demanding. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. Meaning that you should do it, but if you don't, nobody says that. If anything, they say the opposite, right? We have, what positions do we have? We have Rav, according to the Rif and the Rashba himself, who says you have to repeat for both. B'diavad. We have Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Elazar, according to the Rashba and the Rif, which is you don't have to for either, but l'chatchila, you should change to Hamelech HaKadosh and Hamelech HaMishpat, right? We have the position quoted in the Rashba, which is that Rav holds you should change both, but you don't have to. And Rabbi Elazar holds you should change Hamelech HaKadosh, you should change Hamelech HaMishpat to Hamelech HaMishpat, but B'dievet is not so bad. And Hamelech HaKadosh, you don't even have to switch at all if you don't want to. Right? But literally nobody says that because you actually said the word Melech, who cares? Nobody says that. Nobody. Right? They all say, if anything, the opposite. Okay? Is that clear? Good. So now let's try to understand these positions. Let's try to understand the position. Okay. Why would somebody, let's go through each of the positions. Why would you understand the Rav the way the Rif does, that you must change Hakel HaKadosh to Hamelech HaKadosh and Hamelech HaTzedakah HaMishpat to Hamelech HaMishpat? And if you don't, you're not Yotzei. What's the Svara?
Rav says that you are
We did the words. We've worked out the words. Now give me logic. We've worked out the words. I know what the words say. Now logic. What's the logic behind saying you must say it, and both of them are ma'akev for the evid if you don't say it, if you repeat Shimon Esrei for both of them? What's the svara? Very good. There. Right, exactly. First of all, it's clear that according to Rav, during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, because of the context, we actually rewrite the proper text of davening. Whenever you rewrite the proper text of davening, what happens if you mess it up? You have to repeat Shemona Esrei. It's clear. Right? According to Rabbi Eliezer, presumably, how would the Rif understand Rabbi Eliezer? What's his svara? That it's better to say it, but you don't have to. Correct. And therefore, how does he define the... Why is it worth saying at all? Presumably, he doesn't think we rewrote davening. What did we do? We added a variation. We introduced variations to prayer, right? Or something like that, right? I don't know, right? Something like that. Okay, that's the very basic. Now, Hakel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh. Let's just focus on Hakel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh first, okay? Why does Rav say that if you forget specifically Hakel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh, you must repeat Shemot Esrei? Right, meaning we switched davening, and these are different terms, right? We rewrote davening, and HaMelech and Hakel are not the same thing. Why would we switch? Because it's a time of year where, what?
It's
judgment. And Melech is tied up with judgment. So we relate to God's aspect of Malchut. Good. And why does Rabbi Eliezer say we don't have to, or Rabbi Lazar? Right, again, we have two different gestalt out here. Why does... Exactly. Because since the Pasuk has a time when we're talking about justice, and it says Hakel and not HaMelech, right, you see that Hakel and Melech are thematically linked, and that's why he thinks it's a variation and not a change in text. Right? Good. According to the other Shita, right, that Rav says, Lichatzila, you should switch, and Rilazar says, you don't switch at all. Everyone agrees that what? We never rewrote Shimon Esrei. What did we do? We offered a variation. And Rav holds that HaMelech is different from Hakel. And therefore, lechatchila, we offer a better variant. But if you don't say it, it's okay. Right? And Rabbi Lazar holds that no, Hakel and HaMelech are equal, and therefore, there is no benefit to the other. One over the other, right? Good. What? That's Rabbi Eliezer according to the Rashba.
Right?
Okay, good. I don't know which one we did in what order, but Rabbi Eliezer according to the Rashba, the first day in the Rashba. Okay, what about HaMelech HaMishpat now? So let's go through it. According to the Rif, HaMelech HaMishpat, according to Rav, you must repeat Shimon Esrei. Why? Because we rewrote Shimon Esrei. Good. Why is this a rewrite, HaMelech HaMishpat versus HaMelech HaYitzchak HaMishpat, as we already said? Because it's the difference between the queen who likes Chalva and the queen of Chalva, right? Those are not the same, right? 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 It's the difference between saying, right, Lahavdil, right? It's like the difference between saying that Rabbi Friedman from Rambam, right? He's the Rosh Yeshiva who likes Migdal, right? And Rabbi Ginsburg is the Rosh Yeshiva of Migdal. Those are not the same, right? Those are both true statements, but they're not the same, right? Right? So saying HaMelech Ohetzak HaMishpat is not saying HaMelech HaMishpat. One is the king of justice, the other is a king who likes justice. No, it's not. What do you mean? I love my wife. She's part of me. I'm still not my wife. They're not. It's not an identity statement. Fine, my kids, okay? Fine. I knew someone was going to say that. Fine. I love my kids. That doesn't mean that, right? They are literally from me, right? Genetically. They're still not me. Right? Right? It's not an identity statement there. Okay. Fine. So that's Rav according to... That's Rabbi Elazar according to the Rif. Right? But what about Rav according to... that's Rav according to the Rif. And what are Rabbi Elazar according to the Rif? Again, it's a variant. They mean different things, so it's better to say Amelech HaMishpat. They do mean different things, but if you don't say it, it's okay. And what about Rabbi Eliezer according to the Rajbert's first position? It's the same. It's Lachatzila, but you don't have to, right? Because according to the first day and the Rajba, everyone agrees about Amelech HaMishpat, right? That is better, but you don't have to. Yeah? Fine. According to? Yes. Okay. Now, if you look at, did anyone get to Rabbeinu Yonah? What? Okay. So let's look at Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah in 5. So, first let's run through it, right? He paskins. He says, Vasikna, what's the psak? The Hilchata Melcha Kadosh Melcha Mishpat, Ein Lefareshi, Rilazar Hayomer, Lechatchila Leotel Bidiavad. He said, first of all, the first day in the Rajba, that all of this is only on the level of Lechatchila. Does he accept that or reject that? Reject it. He paskins like the Rif. Right? He paskins like the Rif. What's his proof? What's the key word? What's the proof? Yatsa. Right? Fine. Let's skip down to look down to 6 lines from the end of this paragraph, the last one, the line is Lafichach. Right? Basically everything did until now is proof that we pass in like the Rif. Right? That the machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Elazar is Bidiyavad, not Lechatchila. Okay? Then he says, Ulafichach Pasaka Talmud Kiraba. That's what we pass in like Rav. Amar Hilchita, Melech HaKadosh. Klomar Ein Lo Lomar Bishuminyan Ela Melech HaKadosh Va Melech HaMishpat. V'im tomar minolan de rabba sfir lei de b'diavad lo yatsa. Why is it that Rabba says that post facto you still do not fulfill your obligation? You must say HaMelech HaKadosh. Dal karcha lo shamin and amar eloshim et ba'al melech HaKadosh v'amelech HaMishpat. Efshar shizover shakach shorach lo melech HaKadosh. Al v'evit yatsa. V'eichi bat gamur li bat yididei lo lam lo yatsa. How do you know that it, you must say it and without it you are not yotzei? Yesh Lomar Shemitov, the real Ozar. Said, we only know it because of real Ozar. So he doesn't provide his far. He does that. Since real Ozar says, Bidiyavid, it's okay. It must be that he's holding that this is Ma'akev. Now, if you look at the next paragraph, he says, Rabbeinu Tsarfat Cholken al Zabsak, Romrim Damar Bidiyavad Hakel HaKadosh V'Hakel HaMishpat, Yatsa. Right? Then he quotes the first position of the Rashba, but he gives you a name. Who is it? The Chachmei Tzarfat. Who are the Chachmei Tzarfat? Yeah, also known as the Balei HaTosfot. Right? Apparently this is some Balei HaTosfot tradition. Right? That first position of the Rashba, okay. And therefore he quotes according, right? So all of that he summarizes. Now, in all of this analysis, which is just reiterating from the Rajba, right, from the Rif, again, does anybody say that if you have to repeat, it's only for Amelech HaKadosh and not Amelech HaMishpat? Anybody? No. Nobody says that. Right? Some people say you don't repeat either. Some people say you repeat both. Some people say Lechatchila, you change Amelech HaMishpat, but you don't even have to change Amelech HaKadosh. But nobody says that you have to change, but only Melech HaKadosh is Ma'akev and not Melech HaMishpat. Nobody says that, right? Until the last line here, and that's what I bolded. Miyu nir'in hadvarin she'im amar melech oev tzedakah u'mishpat ein tzarich lachzor. He says, however, I don't think that's true. I think we pass like the Rif that what? You must change Hamelech HaKadosh and Hamelech HaMishpat. But only Hamelech HaKadosh is Ma'akev. Why? Ho'il u'maskir lashon malchut. Because you said king. That's enough. As long as you said king, it's fine. So l'chatchila, you should change both. Right? Aval neinu maskir lashon malchut. As long as you said the word melech, it's okay. And therefore, Hamelech HaKadosh, where the alternative is, Hakel HaKadosh, if you don't say it, you have to repeat. But by Hamelech HaKadosh and Hamelech Lev Tzedakah Mishpat, since one way or the other, what do you say? The word Melech. And that is what you probably all learned growing up. Right? But you tell me, right? Does this seem like a majority position? No, because according to, what's the majority position? First of all, the majority position is that we paskin, that we paskin like Rabbah, that as understood by the Rif, that all of this is b'diavad, that we rewrote, as Moshe put it very nicely before, this isn't a variation, what is it? It's a rewrite of Shmoneh Esrei, right? And as we saw, if you hold it's a rewrite of Shmoneh Esrei, it's a rewrite for both. So why is Hamelech HaKadosh a rewrite on Hakel HaKadosh? Obviously, because one is Hakel and one is Hamelech. But why is Hamelech HaKadosh a rewrite, why is Hamelech HaMishpat a rewrite of Melech HaYitzidakah HaMishpat? Because the grammar makes a difference. Right? The grammar makes a difference. I know you hate hearing this, but grammar makes a difference. Right? What? The grammar, syntax, I'm not really sure what you would call this particular thing. Okay. So look for a seven. Look now at seven. Look at the Birkei, look at the Beit Yosef. Okay? This is the Beit Yosef summary. Skip six from it. Uli inyan halacha. So what is he posting? So he says, first of all, Chayvan Sharifa Rama Barash Maskim and Dibdiyavad Namaliyatachin Akina. So first of all, he says unequivocally, do we think that these are true even Bidiyavad? That the Svara is that this isn't a variation, but it's a rewrite of Shmoneh Esrei? Yes. Why does he paskin that way? Because he says everybody paskins that way. Everyone of import paskins that way. Rambam, Rif, Rosh, everybody. Yes? Good. The Hamelech HaMishpat. And then he says, why is Hamelech HaMishpat so different from Melech HaYitzidakah HaMishpat? What does he say? Perish Rashi, Kemo Melech HaMishpat. Kemo Nostei Aron Abrit. Kemo Aron Abrit. Because grammatically, it is different from the God who loves justice. It's the God of justice. Yes? And then if it wasn't clear enough, he now quotes Rabbeinu Manoach. And he says, Rabbeinu Manoach katav, v'perek bet mihilchot tefilah. De'melech ohev tzedakah u'mishpat machma. What does melech ohev tzedakah u'mishpat mean? She'yitnaheg biru'av v'tzedek u'v'mishpat. Now he says, you know what the difference really is? It's much bigger difference. What does Hamelech Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat mean? What does it mean that God loves justice? What does he say? Very good. He loves seeing his people act justly. Melech Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat means... Exactly. Melech Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat means God loves when human beings act with justice. Aval HaMelech HaMishpat, what does the God of justice mean? Ratzal Omar, Shehu Yitbarach, Shoveda Olam, it means that he is judging. Now, explain to me, why is it during Aseret Yemei Teshuva we rewrite it to HaMelech HaMishpat versus HaMelech Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat, and that is enough to make you repeat Shmoneh Esrei? Because it's not about whether God is king. What's it about? Yes, whether he's doing the judging. The rest of the year, God wants Moshe to be a just person, right? He wants Israel's incompetent Knesset to get its act together and act justly. I thought he was about to challenge me and say that our government is not incompetent. What? Yeah, okay. Yes, of course. Right? Hamelech HaKadosh, we understand that Melech is tied up with justice, and therefore Aseret Yemei Teshuva, instead of saying Akel, we say Hamelech. But now, the Chiddush is, okay, but then why, in what way is Hamelech HaMishpat different than Melech Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat? Because But, right, Hakel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh, I get it. Hakel is not a king, HaMelech is a king, and king is tied up with justice. So during the Aseret Meitshuvah, when justice is on the table, we say that God is king. But what's the difference between HaMelech HaMishpat and Melech HaEiv Tzedakah HaMishpat? So he says very simple. Melech HaEiv Tzedakah HaMishpat means that God is the king who likes other people to be just. Right? But during Aseret Meitshuvah, we're talking about God judging us. It's not just enough to say that God wants us to be just. What is it? What do you have to say? That God is the one judging. That's the rewrite of Shmoneh Esrei. It's a real rewrite.
Can you say, like, part of it is also, like, you know, I'm not talking about that, but the recognition of God is also, like, the one who is judging.
Of course, that's exactly the point. That we rewrite Shmoneh Esrei to recognize that God is judging during Esrei Meitshuvah. That's the point. During the rest of the year, we want God, we want to remember that we're supposed to be just. During Esrei Meitshuvah, we want to remember that God is doing the judging. That's his first possibility. Inami, he says, maybe it's even more. Mashma shuhasma hu hamishpat. Right? He said, or even more than that. What does hamelech hamishpat mean? Not the God of justice, but justice. Very good. The God who is justice. Meaning, it's not just that God is the God of justice. It's God is justice personified. Hamelech, who is Mishpat. Hamelech, who is HaMishpat? So Rami Menoach says, listen, during the rest of the year, what do we say? God wants us to be just. During Aseret Meitshuvah, we either say that God is judging or God is justice personified or non-personified, godified, identity. God is justice, pure justice. He is the platonic ideal of justice in the world of the noumena. Fine? He is justice. Fine? God is justice. Kemosh anu omrim hiya chokhma. Just like we say God is wisdom. Right? God is justice. Now. Yeah. Good. No, but it does. That's exactly the point. Is that Beit Yosef is justifying the majority position in all Rishonim, which is that it is Ma'akev. Right? That's exactly my point. So remember I told you yesterday, I don't like running to the Ramah. This is why. Because let's put the names, right? According, the simplest understanding of Sugya is that HaMelech HaMishpat is radically different than HaMelech HaLeiv Tzedakah HaMishpat. And therefore, if we paskin like Rav, that this is Bidiavad, then HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat are rewrites of Shemoneh Esrei, and both of them are radically different than what we say during the year. And therefore, for both of them, do you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei? Yes. Who paskins that way? Rashi, right? Rashi, clearly. The Rif, the Rambam, right? The Rush, the Rajba.
And the Big
Yosef. Everybody who doesn't? Rabbeinu Yonah. Because the majority Shita and Rishonim is either you have to repeat for everything or you have to repeat for nothing. Or, if anything, it's more important to switch HaMelech HaMishpat than it is HaMelech HaKadosh. The only Shita, what? Rashi, Ashkenazi, right? Rush, Ashkenazi, right? Rabbeinu Yonah? Rabbeinu Yonah, by the way, Rabbeinu Yonah, who is the only, one and only Shita who says that HaMelech HaKadosh is more important to switch than HaMelech HaMishpat. He's the only Rishon. Is he Ashkenazi or Sephardi? Sephardi, thank you, he's from Spain. So how many Ashkenazi Rishonim say that, say that you only have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei if you forget HaMelech HaKadosh? Zero! There are zero Ashkenazi Rishonim who say that this, all Ashkenazi Rishonim, every single one of them, maybe, we'll see, there might be one other, right? But basically, almost all Shitot hold that you have to repeat from HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat LaHalacha, right? But what do the Baliyat Post vote, the Ashkenazi Post can say? You don't repeat for either, right? the one shita who holds that you only repeat from El Hakadosh is Sfardi. Yes, very good. Right here. Right? Who is Sfardi? He's from Spain. Right? So how many... So why is it that everyone passes this way? Oh, the Ramah. Right? Now, this is a problem. Right? This is a problem. What? Oh, so now, what I want to do tomorrow, because now we're out of time, or not tomorrow, Sunday, I guess, right, is I want to finish up the sugya. So here's what we got to do. First of all, we'll see the machloket Rambam Shulchan Aruch. But before that, I want you to see one more position, which is Rabbeinu Yechiel quoted in the Tur, with Rabbi Yaakov in number 9. So Rabbi Yaakov is another way of understanding this, right, another history to how the Ashkenazi Pesach came into being, which entails there being a different girsa than the Gemara. And not a different girsa than the Gemara, by the way. I'll give it away a little bit, but there is another possibility here, which is that there was an Ashkenazi tradition that the bracha, the girsa and the bracha always is hakel ohev tzaka umishpat, not hamelach. That the proper girsa always was... If you have a different girsa in our normal bracha, then that might change things, right? Fine. Okay. We'll finish this on Sunday then, and that'll take us to Rosh Hashanah, and then it'll be Rosh Hashanah, which is crazy. Okay, good? Good, but it's lunchtime, and we're in the lunchroom, so let's stop.